Hey, it's Dan Patrick. Here's your chance to score with Maaco Auto Body Shop. Join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, airfare, hotel stay, and VIP access to see us do our show. Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 swag bags. Enter daily for a chance to win. Get official rules at danpatrick.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
All right, the state may proceed.
Just stand right here, face the judge. Raise your right hand, please.
Do you swear affirm to tell the whole truth? All right, you may have a seat.
Would you state your name, please? And can you spell that for the court reporter?
TAPATHAARCHIE.
And Miss Archie, did you know Brodus Perry?
Yes.
And can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury how you knew him? And was he your husband?
Can I get you to speak up? Explain like you're trying to reach the back door. She's recording everything, so we want to make sure we get everything you say.
When were y'all married?
2014, February 2014.
And were you married to him in April of 2019 when he died?
Yes.
How old was he at that time?
38, I think.
I'm going to pass you something and ask you if you can identify it. Can you identify that?
Yeah, that's Brodus Perry.
Judge, I'll ask that big mark. State's Exhibit 1, please.
No objection.
All right. I will show the photo of Brodus Perry as Exhibit 1.
May I publish that for the jury?
Yes.
Is that the photo you used to identify?
Yes.
When's the last time you talked to him?
April 4th, 2019.
And that's the day he died?
Correct.
Were you there when that happened?
Yes.
Where were y'all living at the time?
Colesville, Tennessee.
How long had y'all been in Shelby County?
Approximately 6 months.
Okay. Where were you before that?
Little Rock, Arkansas.
And what did Mr. Perry do as his occupation?
He was a pastor.
And is that what he did in Little Rock as well?
Yes.
Where was he at Little Rock? Where was he a pastor at?
St. Mark Baptist Church.
And do you know, is that a big church?
Yeah, it's a big church.
They have a lot of pastors.
Yes.
What was his role as a pastor there?
He was a pastor of assimilation. So his responsibility was basically new members as well as small groups.
Did he do any counseling or anything at that church?
No.
I want to take you specifically to April 4th of 2019. And that night, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, where were you?
I was home.
And was Brodus there with you?
No, he was not.
Did you have a visitor?
I did.
Was it an expected visitor or an unexpected visitor?
Unexpected.
Okay. Kind of tell me how that went.
I heard a knock at the door, so me and the dog went to the door. I didn't see anyone. Well, the people was covered. And so I thought it was Brody's just playing around. So I'm like, I said something like, you know, I'm not going to open the door if I can't see anyone. So I went and sat back down. And I heard a knock again, so I went back to the door. And I peeked out the door, and I saw, like, a lock, like, swinging. And I was like, Tasha, is that you? And she, you know, nodded, yeah. So I was like, okay, let me put the dog up. I went and put the dog up, and then I came back and opened the door.
Okay. So you knew Latasha Daniels?
Yes.
Is she in the courtroom today?
Yes.
Can you point her out for us, please?
Right there.
What color shirt she wearing?
Blue.
Light blue or dark blue?
Light blue.
For the record, Judge, she's identified the defendant.
We'll let the record reflect the defendant has been identified.
How would you describe your relationship with the defendant?
Friendly.
Okay. You knew her, you may have said this, where did you know her from?
I knew her from church.
In Memphis or Little Rock?
In Little Rock.
Did y'all do other things together outside of church?
I would say from maybe July to October, we played tennis together like once a month. I went to a couple dance classes. I think she had a former client who taught dance. So I went to a couple dance classes, or my life group would go with her life group to a couple dance classes.
So it was somebody you knew from church, somebody you knew from some events at church, somebody you played tennis with occasionally. So you knew her fairly well, would you say that?
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think when she just showed up? Did you have any idea she knew where you lived, or?
I knew that it was odd. I felt like it was odd, but I guess it was one of those things where, you know, it's like, this is weird, but okay. You know, I knew that before we left Little Rock, we gave a lot of people our address. You know, a lot of people, you know, keep in contact, you know, give me your forwarding address, that type of thing. So I really didn't allow myself to really think past that. I just figured, oh, we must have given her our address.
So it wouldn't have been unusual for somebody from the church in Little Rock to know where you were in Memphis?
Wouldn't be unusual, no.
Did you ask her what she was doing there?
Yeah, I asked her what she was doing there, and she said that she was in town for a conference.
So what did y'all do after welcomed her in, and,
yeah,
and what happened then?
I invited her in. We just sat on the couch and just kind of caught up. You know, how are you? What's going on? How are the kids? You know, have you been playing tennis? Stuff like that. Just really small talk.
Did you notify Mr. Perry that she was there?
I texted him, and I just, you know, gave like the big eyeballs, and I was like, I either said weird or strange or something like that. But I didn't go into detail to tell him what was going on or that she was there.
Did you ask him to come home if he was available to come home?
No, because I knew he was already on the way home.
Okay, so you had, I guess, had a conversation with him by phone, text, or something, and so you had an idea he was coming home?
Yeah.
Right. How long do you think that She was there prior to Mr. Perry getting home, approximately. I mean, it's not 5 minutes, 30 minutes, I don't know.
If I had to guess, I would say maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
I don't know.
And can you kind of describe what happened when Mr. Perry came in the door?
He came in, and he's like, I thought there was a surprise here for me. This isn't a surprise. This is an unexpected guest. Real agitated.
Did he seem to know that she would be there?
No, he didn't. He didn't give away to me that he thought she would be there. So he said that, and then he was, telling me about, he had brought me some aminos or something, and just regular small talk. And then he sat down and started basically grilling her about why she was there.
Okay. And how long did y'all continue to have conversation after that?
Did anything to eat, drink,
anything like that?
I think they may have had bourbon. I didn't have any. I think that I'm pretty sure he offered bourbon. Okay.
How long would you say that she stayed?
After he got there.
After he got there.
Maybe another 10 minutes.
And what happened?
She said, well, I'm not going to keep you guys. I'm going to, head out or whatever. So we all got up to walk to the door, and I led, and she was behind me, and he was behind her. And I walked to the door, and I'm just giving this little spiel about not speeding in the area, just making small talk as we go to the door. I open the door, and I go out. We're on the second floor, and I'm, right at the steps when I turn back, and I'm like, okay, no one's behind me. And then I see her pull out her gun and start shooting.
Was she inside of the apartment or out?
No, she was outside of the apartment, and he was standing in the doorway, in the threshold.
Had she ever, since she got there, mm-hmm. and you let her in, had she left the apartment to go back to her car?
No.
So she had brought the gun in with her when she came into the apartment?
Yes.
So once you pulled the gun out, what happened then?
She started shooting. He hit the ground. And I started running toward him. And she told me, basically back off. So I stopped and I ran to the neighbor's door and I banged on the door, call 911. She went back into the apartment. So I went back into the apartment because I'm just trying to figure out what is going on. Why is this happening? So I'm, screaming naturally, why is this happening? What's happening? Why are you doing this?
So, do you think your neighbor called 911 at that point?
One of them did. Somebody called.
When you got back into the apartment, did the defendant still have the gun in her hand?
Yes.
And what was going on then?
I guess at that point, I'm basically pleading, what's happening? Why are you doing this? Please leave. And she's, kind of pacing a little bit, with the gun. At some point, the gun was reloaded.
So she fired until she ran out of bullets?
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever shot?
I was shot.
Tell me about that. When did that happen? Where were you?
Well, at some point, I got on the ground. And I can't remember if I got on the ground immediately, but I was on the ground and I was kind of hovering over him. Kind of in my mind, I'm like, let me cover his head, so he doesn't get shot anymore. And, she was yelling at me to move, and I wouldn't move. So I got shot.
Where'd you get shot?
In the shoulder.
Tell me about those injuries. Where and how were you treated? What have you had to deal with since being shot?
So it went into the shoulder, it broke this bone, and so at the emergency room, they decided that they wouldn't remove the bullet because,
Take your time.
They felt like it wasn't going to move, so they just didn't remove it. But when I got to Jacksonville, I know that's home, Florida. I went back home. And they noticed that the bullet had started moving. So the first doctor I went to was like, this bullet is too close to your lung, so, it's going to have to go. And I went to first I went to the orthopedic doctor, then I went to another doctor. And they decided to just remove it
And by the time it was removed, it was coming out of my back. So the bullet was had punctured the skin and was poking out of my back. So I had to have it surgically removed.
So did that cause you a lot of pain the night you were shot?
Yes.
A lot of pain between being shot and having the bullet removed?
A lot of pain.
And then the surgery was also not comfortable, I'm guessing, as well?
Right. And then the shoulder is still broke. On top of that, the bone here, you know, it was still broke the whole time. So there was the bone healing on top of the surgery and everything else.
Does it still cause you pain even today?
Sometimes, depending on what I'm doing, I'll get like a sharp pain.
There is, we've talked about this since, but. And I don't know, do you dispute the fact that Mr. Perry and the defendant were involved in an extramarital affair at the time this happened?
I don't now, no.
Prior to Mr. Perry's death, did you have any idea that the defendant and Mr. Perry were involved in any kind of an inappropriate relationship?
No.
Did Mr. Perry at any time have any conversation with you about he would like to have a relationship with Latasha Daniels?
No.
Did he at any time have a conversation with you about he wanted to have a relationship with anyone other than you, a sexual relationship with anyone other than you?
One time he told me about a book that he wanted me to read.
Right.
That was about the extent of it.
A marriage where you would agree to allow your spouse to have a sexual relationship with somebody else, anything that you would ever agree to?
No.
And by saying that, does that mean you never agreed to that with Mr. Perry?
I did not.
And you had no idea anything like that was going on?
I did not.
When you were on the ground trying to protect Mr. Perry, and I think you testified to this, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. Did you say that the defendant was telling you to move?
Yes.
And you refused to move?
Yes.
And that's when you were shot?
Correct.
I apologize if I defer to Perry, because that was just what I've known you as. Please feel free to correct me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you about some things regarding this case, okay? First, I want to talk about ethical non-monogamy,
mm-hmm.
okay? When you were on direct, you told Mr. McAlpin that there was a book he wanted you to read. Mm-hmm. That book was called The Ethical Slut.
I guess. I don't think I ever considered it enough to know the name, but I guess.
And that was something that he was interested in and brought to your attention.
Right. He thought, he told me about this book. Hey, I read this book. I think you should read it.
Did he tell you what it was about?
I think I've gathered what it was about, yeah.
What did you gather it was about?
I gathered that it was about people who are in open marriages.
And is that something that you were interested in?
No.
Now, there was an ethical non-monogamy group that Brodus was in, right? His book club?
Right, apparently so.
And did you know about the chat group that he had with two other women regarding that book?
Not at the time. This is something I learned about maybe 2 years after his death. I knew that he was in a book club. I didn't know what kind of book club it was. To know Brodus, to know is that he's very, very much a nerd. I would say after he died, I probably gave away 1,000 books. So to say I'm in a book club didn't seem out of the ordinary to me.
So did you know that he was on this, and this was on the Marco Polo app that mm-hmm. he was talking to these women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he was talking to people on that app?
I did know, because I asked him, why are you always on this app? And he said, well, you know, I'm in that book club, and instead of constantly typing back and forth, we just get on the video and chat about the books that we're reading.
And you saw him on there a lot.
Like, you know, when you log on, you can see who else is on. So I'm like, why are you always on the app?
Did Brodus ever talk to you about bringing a watcher into your relationship?
No.
Did he ever talk to you about Ms. Daniels being a watcher in your relationship?
No.
Did he ever talk to you about wanting to have a girlfriend outside of having you as his wife?
No.
Did you select Ms. Daniels for Brodus to have a relationship?
No.
I'd like to show you some videos, okay? And it will be clips. Mostly, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about those clips, okay? If you would please just allow me to sit when I'm doing this stuff. Thank you. Clip is him talking about Latasha not being okay with the ethical non-monogamy mm-hmm. and you being perfectly on board with it. Was that true?
No.
Did you believe that Brodus was being open and transparent and honest with you about his relationship with Latasha.
What relationship?
He wasn't being open with you about his relationship with Latasha, right? That there was a relationship at all.
Right.
He was not transparent about that.
There was nothing. To my knowledge, there was no relationship.
And you never said because he was so open and honest and transparent with you, with his relationship with Latasha, that you were okay with him then adding another girlfriend.
No.
That didn't ever happen.
No.
Have been simple, right? No exes, nobody from Jacksonville, Florida, which is home for us, and nobody in the city that you live in, that currently live in, which means nobody in Memphis. That was the case, of course, in Little Rock, outside of girlfriend, because girlfriend is in Little Rock. The way that kind of happened is, short version, when she decided to open up the marriage and allow me to be open inside her. Is a therapist, right? And she didn't go to her for therapy, but she asked her some questions. And based on this therapy session she had with this other lady. And she was asking her some questions after she had just said, bro, is this what I'm gonna let you do? Bother, you know, it is what it is. But from there, she asked her some questions. And so she was like, I just got a couple questions for you. And, you know, they would go play tennis together. She was one of my life group leaders. And so we had rapport. We had rapport. And she asked a question and was like, yeah, blase, blase, I'm thinking about this. And what do you think about this? And what do you think X, Y, and Z could potentially become? And I'm sorry, I'm looking to see who's in the cigar lounge because this is not what I really frequent at all. So I'm kind of careful about who potentially is in here because I don't want to blast out past them. You know, I really want to go in and go chill in the back, but I'm not a member. Next thing that she shared with her was, you know my husband like you, right? What do you think you're attracted? And she was like, what? And you're like, yeah, I know what he likes. And he thinks you're attracted. Not that he's been rude or anything like that. We've had conversation. Well, you know, we did, because like one time we was sitting around having a watch. And she asked me, I was like, well, you gotta get her. I ain't gonna get his own come across with this like this creepy guy, right? We're trying to spice things up. And in that regard, even though that was even somewhat limited with the idea of somebody watching me, that's neither here nor there. But when the question came.
Just to pause it for a minute. In your relationship with Brodus, mm-hmm. Did you make those rules up?
No.
So that was not true.
Not true.
Were you the one who initiated the conversation about Latasha?
No.
Did you ever reach out to Latasha about Brodus engaging with her?
No.
Did he ever talk to you about wanting a watcher, as he described here?
No.
Did you ever agree to having a watcher, as he discussed here?
No.
Came up, it was her, right? And she asked, well, who would you want? And that was the first thing I said. She's like, I know you like her. I know her. So anyway, so she said, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, if you were interested. Just, no, I'm not saying that you are, but I'm also saying I've given him this X, Y, Z, and he may come your way. And she did. And she's like, okay, cool. So we had a conversation. And after that, that's when the whole nobody in the city thing came. It was more like, I'll give you a pass with her because I essentially gave you the alley. But nobody, yeah, nobody. So I'm trying to figure this. So fast forward, I said a whole lot of shit, right? Trying to get to where I'm going. So I have been thinking about the past couple weeks in terms of expanding, you know, my ethical non-monogamy is kind of, so my wife, you know, her and I, we were chatting the other day. I was like, well, baby, I got a couple questions. I'm just curious, you know. She knows about the group and everything like that. So I was like, when do you want
to? Just to ask a couple questions real quick. Did you ever have that conversation that he talks about with Latasha?
No.
Did you ever have that conversation that he talks about with him?
No.
Did you ever give him the XYZ that he was talking about?
No.
Did you ever give him a pass for Latasha?
No.
Did he ever talk to you about further expanding ethical monogamy in your relationship?
No.
No. You know, like, when do you want to know that there's someone who has my interest, there's someone who I would like to pursue? Do you want to know the moment that I feel like it's more than just banter? Do you want to know at the moment that I would like to begin to banter? Do you want to know once I feel like it might be a thing beyond banter? Or what? You know, because this is kind of new for us, right? Because, you know, girlfriend, Tasha, that's easy. That's been 2 years. That's been it for the most part. Outside of me going, that's out my birthday. But it's kind of been easy in that regard. So just trying to figure out what does that look like. So just kind of really thinking through where I am with that, right? You know, where I, in terms of those. So there's a lot of newness. And I said that just to say that there's still a lot of newness even in this ethical non-monogamy that I'm wrestling with. And it's fun, right? It's fun. It's interesting. It's causing us to communicate and chat and really talk again about different things that we've kind of, in a real sense, have been settled to some degree. But realizing that in this ethical non-monogamy, we got to keep things in pencil and not pen. You know, some things are in pencil, pen, right? There's some hard news, but it kind of got to be in touch in terms of what that looks like. So that's why I know you're talking about being sprung and giddy and all that stuff. I think because that those flutters of those emotions, right, of those initial thoughts are all kind of new and very much new because this person is brand new. Like, I don't know Sheree, right? I knew Tasha. That was different. There was some level of familiarity there. And that's typically how I've always engaged with it, right? With some level of familiarity. I cannot, whether being in the same class together during college or something like that, I've never kind of quote unquote cold called anyone. You know, if that makes sense. Because I don't think I'm that guy. So, yeah. Thanks for coming to my TikTok. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go in here. Now I'm thinking, how far would we need to go downtown? Because I'm like, there's a lot of folk in there. I don't know if I trust who's in that room right now. Shit. I just need to do better with smoking houses, cigar houses.
Did he ever have that conversation with you about when he needed to tell you if he was wanting to banter with someone or when it would go past banter with someone?
No.
That never happened?
No.
Did he ever, did you hear him reference going out of town on his birthday?
I thought I heard that.
Did he ever tell you about a threesome out of town on his birthday?
No.
Did you hear him mention the name Sheree?
I did hear that.
Do you know who Sheree is?
I don't believe so.
Did y'all ever talk about how ethical non-monogamy could make your relationship better?
No.
None of that ever happened?
No.
Thank you.
and brotherly advice at this point. And I know Danielle, you won't hear, because you're probably doing something else. But so I want to talk to y'all about my new friend, right? The one who I keep everybody to the curb on. So she hit me today with a boss move, boss moves, and asked, did I want to hook up next week? After she gets back from being out of town, that threw me the fuck off. Like, wow. Like, so my only... So she gets back on Friday. She's like, hey, we ain't got Friday and Saturday. My only concern is that she is waiting a callback for an interview for a process. And she said it may be next Saturday, right? And I know that she would leave, of course, for that. And given if I'm going to Atlanta, she's about 100 miles away, she would ditch me, right? Like, I would force her, say, go, and ditch me, right? But I just don't know. I want to put myself in a situation where potentially we may not be able to hang out in that regard because she got this other stuff that she's worried about. But I am, like, high-key shocked and, like, super, like, blushed about it, because like it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we were talking about other stuff, and it was like, hey, what about? It's like, oh, okay, I'm with you. You weren't expecting to see that while I was in my speech contest. I was just a counter, so don't matter. I went through that, but I don't know what to do. I think a couple of things, right? So, I live in this also this other tension, so that means furthering the conversation, right, with the wife, which she's in a good place about that. I think I talked to you about it, that you haven't updated Michelle about it, just in terms of girlfriend who's not taking it as well, I guess. But at the end of the day, I told her, you got to recognize this is about me, this is about you, and it doesn't make sense for my wife to allow me to be open with my girl who has an issue. Like, so she's kind of chewing that, because I think in theory we've talked about this day coming, right, but it's never been a reality. Right, so I think that she's wrestling with the reality. I think that your ideas, your thoughts, yesterday was so, like, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I never thought about it like that. But that made so much sense. And it's not that I want to be disrespectful. It's not that I don't want to be ethical. But I do wrestle with that. And I just kind of talking to your perspective about what you saw. But I was like, I think that could be what this is in terms of treating this like an infidelity kind of relationship on purpose with permission versus an additional partner scenario. So I feel that. But y'all, she asked me to hook up with her.
Did Brodus ever talk to you about engaging with a woman in Atlanta?
No.
Was he open and honest and transparent about that?
No.
Did you tell him that you were open to him doing that?
No.
Had y'all been talking about that day coming where he would further expand to another girlfriend?
No.
She lives in Little Rock, so we're in Memphis now. I mean, it's only 2 hours away, but yes, we were in Little Rock. So we were literally, because it was at that point, wife was like, yeah, nobody at home. Like, this is an exception, because I kind of threw you that. But, no, you ain't dealing with nobody at home. Like, that was Jacksonville, so our heart knows that no Jacksonville, which is hometown for us, no exes, and no place in your current city. Those are the hard no's, right? She got an exception because it was there that she realized, well, yeah, I don't think I want him to be dealing with all these people, all these women, and no doubt these women would be in the church because that's all we do is kind of hang around or in the community or close enough. So it was kind of one of those things.
Was Latasha Daniels an exception to your rules?
No.
Did you create rules about Jacksonville?
No.
Did you create rules about exes?
No.
Did you create rules about the city that you live in?
No.
Were those hard no's for you?
No.
Was any extramarital affair a hard no for you?
They were all hard no's for me.
Before I can say a word, she hits me with, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "Sorry for what?" So then she goes into the whole, "I apologize for breaching your trust, breaching your confidence by telling my boss, my former boss before, about the situation." Her reasoning was that she felt like if, like you all said, if he could appeal to my quote-unquote greater senses, that I would realize the mistake that I would be making by losing such a wonderful woman. She also apologized. I said that she apologized to Tabitha when Tabitha talked. She told me that Tabitha told her that their conversation was their conversation until she revealed it, so she was not going to talk about the contents with which what they discussed. She basically said, "I feel like I know what you're gonna tell me." And at this,
who is P?
P is our friend and former pastor.
Is that Philip Pointer? And he was also a pastor at St. Mark's.
Correct.
Did you know that Pastor Pointer knew about the relationship with Latasha?
No.
Did Latasha reach out and apologize to you after she threatened to commit suicide?
No.
Did you ever have a conversation with her about that?
No.
Throughout all of those videos, very convincing talking about those things. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
And none of it was true.
No.
I want to talk to you about your relationship with Rose, okay?
Okay.
Y'all were married for about 5 years. How long had you dated before you got married?
About a year.
You were a second wife?
Correct.
And at no point during your relationship, with you at least, did he discuss this Watchers or Nominon?
No.
Brodus was a pastor.
Correct.
In Little Rock, that was at St. Mark's. So yes. That's a big church.
Yes.
Did he take trips with the church?
Yes.
Often?
When you say trips, like international trips, or?
Both, international and local. Israel,
yeah,
Savannah,
often.
El Dorado. Did he take those with the other pastors?
Sometimes.
And he also took them sometimes with other church members? Like the church groups?
I can recall one time, maybe a time or two, where there was like a training conference or something like that.
Yeah. They did, the whole church group was for Israel, right?
Correct.
Okay. And when he got the job at Mississippi Boulevard, that's a big deal to be a pastor then, right? It's a big church here.
It's a big church.
And now on direct, I thought you had said that he didn't ever do counseling for
St. Mark's?
At St. Mark's, but I thought you told the police that he sometimes did. You just didn't know that he counseled with Latasha.
I've never known him to do counseling. Okay.
Did he ever tell you that he counseled with Latasha?
No.
But you knew that she ended up getting divorced.
I did know that.
Now I want to talk to you about Latasha, okay?
Okay.
You knew her from church, and that was St. Mark's in Little Rock.
Correct.
She was a life group leader.
Yes.
What's a life group leader?
It's a person that leads a group of people that get together and do Bible study.
And that was a group that Brodus was over, right?
Correct.
And before his relationship with Latasha started, this was a tight-knit group, right?
Yes.
He was very involved with that group.
Yes.
And it was about 7 or 8 people?
In that group. There were probably 6 or 7 groups.
Yeah. But in that particular group that Latasha was in,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
And those groups were selected from the whole church membership, right?
Based on who showed interest. It wasn't like, you want you, you know, people came and showed interest. Yeah.
There are thousands of church members at St. Mark's.
Sure.
And I think, what, about 40 or 50 people were selected to be life group leaders?
I guess. I don't know for sure.
And that's okay if you don't know. And you and Latasha were fairly friendly.
Yeah.
You played tennis once a month for a couple months.
A week.
Mm-hmm. And then, at some point, after Brodus got the job at Mississippi Boulevard, y'all moved from Little Rock to Memphis.
Correct.
And at no point were you aware of their relationship?
No.
Were you aware of any issues that Brodus had at St. Mark's?
No.
Y'all moved in October.
Correct.
And that was to Carterville.
Correct.
Before y'all left, you gave your friends, church members, your new address.
Yes.
And there was a party that was thrown for y'all, right?
I think so, yeah.
Did you know that Latasha organized that party?
It wouldn't surprise me to know that.
After you left Little Rock and moved to Memphis, mm-hmm. you didn't see Latasha again until April 4th, right?
Right.
And as far as you knew, neither did Brodus.
Correct.
But Brodus would come back to Memphis for his braces.
Right.
Why would he come back to Little Rock from Memphis to get his braces done?
Because the braces were paid for, but the work wasn't done in his mouth. So it just made sense to continue seeing that orthodontist.
And so Brodus would go to Little Rock, but you would stay in Memphis.
Right.
Now, I want to talk to you specifically about April 4th, okay?
Okay.
Now, you were at home that night.
Right.
You were watching TV.
Right.
Just you and your dog, Anakin.
Yes.
And around 9 or 9:30, you heard a noise, a faint knock.
Correct.
Ignored it.
Yep.
And then a couple of seconds, minutes later, you heard another slightly louder knock.
Yeah.
And you and Anakin, the dog, got up to go see what was going on.
Correct.
A third knock, or after you said, you know, I'm not going to open this door if I don't see who it is,
yeah.
You saw Latasha through the people.
Yes.
Recognized it was her.
Yes.
Invited her in.
Yes.
She wasn't threatening you.
No.
She did not have her gun out pointed at you.
No.
You sat, or you brought her into the house, right? And y'all sat in the living room.
Right.
Talked. Right?
Yes.
Talked about tennis.
Yes.
Talked about a work conference, right?
Yes.
And just chatted.
Yeah.
She seemed happy to be there.
Yeah.
She seemed happy to be talking to you.
Yeah.
At no point while y'all were sitting alone in the apartment was she threatening to you.
Yeah.
She never tried to harm you.
No.
And she was seated, if I'm not mistaken, on a couch, right?
Right.
Actually, Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
Tabitha, do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is that?
That's my apartment. Call your bill.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd ask that that be made the next numbered exhibit.
Any objection?
It's the living room.
Any objection from the state?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right. All right, we'll show the photo of the living room as exhibit 2.
Yes.
Where were you seated speaking to Latasha?
I would have been seated on the left end of the sofa.
So, I think it won't work on the screen. So like here?
Yes.
Okay. And where was Latasha?
On the opposite end.
About here?
Right.
Next to these other chairs?
Yes.
Brodus was not home yet, right?
Right.
He had gone to Pastor Poynter's to run an errand.
No, when he
I'm
got
sorry,
off.
I'm sorry, Pastor Turner.
Right. Well, he got off work. He went to the cigar bar. And then from the cigar bar, he told me he had to go drop something off at Jason's house. So he went and dropped something off, and then he came home.
He likes cigars.
Yes.
At Thursday nights, he'd go to the cigar bar, right?
More than Thursday nights, but yeah.
But that was one of his nights,
okay.
Right? So you texted him when Latasha was there. Didn't tell him that she was there, but texted him and just said, this is strange.
Yeah.
And you said that it seemed a little odd, but she was happy to be there, happy to be talking to you.
Yes.
Up to this point on April the 4th of 2019, Brodus had never told you that he ventured outside of your marriage, had you?
No.
And you had never sanctioned that?
No.
He never told you that he had been involved in a 2-year relationship with Latasha?
No.
He never told you that y'all would be sister wives?
No.
He never told you that he promised Latasha that he would tell you anything?
No.
Did he tell you that he saw Latasha earlier that night before she came to your apartment?
He did not.
Did he tell you after he got there that he had seen Latasha earlier that night at the cigar lounge?
No.
He acted like he had no idea she was even in town when he walked in that door, right?
Correct.
And if he had seen her at that cigar lounge earlier that night, that would not have been true. Right?
Correct.
I want to talk to you about while you and Latasha were talking, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She never threatened you, right?
No.
Was never cross with you.
No.
And she engaged with you cordially.
Yes.
Seemed genuinely happy to be there.
Yes.
Now I want to talk to you about when Brodus arrived home, okay? Can you describe his demeanor when he walked in?
Agitated.
Did he immediately come in and offer the bourbon?
No, not immediately.
Okay. When did that happen?
I would say once he kind of settled in, he had bags, he had things with him, so he set those down, told me that he had brought me these aminos. You know, he made the statement about this was an uninvited guest. And then I think that's when he started saying, you know, what are you doing here? Where are you staying? That whole bit. And at some point around there is when he offered, does anybody want a drink?
After after he made the drinks, he also sat down, right?
Yes.
And when we're looking at Exhibit 2, Broda sat in this chair?
I can't remember which chair he sat in, to be honest.
That's okay.
One of those chairs.
And while he was seated in one of these chairs, Latasha was still seated here?
Yes.
Were you still seated over here?
Yes.
Curtis made himself a drink.
Yes.
And he made Latasha a drink. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And you didn't want a drink.
Right.
You had had some champagne earlier in the night and you were done.
Fine, yes.
When Brodus was talking to Latasha about, you know, why she was here, what she was doing, he was kind of making small talk with her, right?
It was, I guess you can call it that. It was like badgering almost. Yeah.
He still seemed agitated?
Yeah.
At some point, did you notice that he kind of stopped talking to Latasha when we started engaging with you?
I didn't.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
Your Honor, I have a transcript of her statement. I've previously provided a copy to the state, but I have a bound copy to provide the ease of reference. Could you look at page 8 for me? Lines 8 through 17.
Okay.
And just read those for me so you know.
What line is 18? I'm sorry. It's not numbered.
May I approach?
Yes.
It should be. It's just hard to see. Oh, okay. Starting here,
okay,
and then just down a couple lines.
Okay, so it says.
Oh, you don't have to read it. Just read it to yourself.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you remember telling the police that he kind of stopped talking to her and started engaging only with you?
I don't, but if it's here.
You don't dispute that that's...
I know, I won't dispute it.
Okay. You could just put that in.
Okay.
Thank you. Was that normal behavior for him, I guess?
I would say that it was normal for behavior for him with his life group leaders. It was not unusual for him to talk kind of rough to them and just... I would often say, I don't know why y'all put up with him. But it was usually just... That's just him, you know, kind of a good fun kind of way of roughhousing, so to speak. So I always found it kind of cringy, but it was not unusual.
Okay. I want to talk to you now about when Latasha said that she was going to go ahead and go.
Okay.
She basically said, I'm not going to keep you guys, right? And everybody stood up. And you led the way to the door.
Right.
Latasha was behind you.
Correct.
And Brodus was behind her.
Yes.
And you got all the way outside, right?
Yes.
I mean, to the stairs of the apartment complex.
Right.
And Latasha and Brodus were still back towards the apartment.
Right.
Latasha right outside the door, Brodus in the door.
Right.
Did you hear her ask him to walk her to her car?
No.
When they were over there and you were at the stairs, they were kind of had their own thing going on over there while you were trying to walk on out, right?
I don't know because my back was turned, so...
Right.
You know, it wasn't until I turned around that I realized they weren't right, you know, behind me.
And you were telling her, just don't speed, be careful. You've had something to drink.
Right.
You had no idea what was going on behind you.
No.
So then I want to talk to you about when you turn around and saw Latasha, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She was still at the door of your apartment.
Well, she was out from the door, yeah.
And that's, your door is right next to your neighbor's door, right?
No, it's across the hall.
Okay, thank you. So, she is standing right outside the door. Brodus is standing in the door frame.
Mm-hmm.
So she was closer to Brodus than you were.
Yes.
Do you remember how far away you were?
So from our front door to the stairs might be from here to the beginning of this green partition. So it's not, we're not very far from the stairs. Yeah. So if this is the front door, those are the stairs.
Okay. So
if I'm there, Brodus is here, she's maybe here. So it's like, you know, equal space between all three of us. It's not a lot of space.
12 feet?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not good at guessing either. Somewhere 10 to 12 feet, maybe 10 to 15 feet. Does that look like a good guess to you?
This looks good to me.
She don't know. She can't answer. She said she can't.
I can move on. Latasha was facing Burgess.
Yeah. I would say.
And you saw her reach into her pocket, right?
Yes.
And this was as y'all were walking out to her car.
This is still upstairs.
Right,
yeah.
But that was the direction that...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you saw her reach into her pocket, mm-hmm. you saw her pull out a gun.
Yes.
Now, prior to that moment, had you ever seen a gun?
No.
Prior to that moment, had she seemed to be a threat to you? Prior to that moment, did you think you were in harm's way being with her?
No.
She started firing the gun.
Yes.
Towards Brodus.
Correct.
You were in the opposite direction, right?
I was behind them, yes.
And you ran to your apartment, or your neighbor's apartments.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you weren't even in the apartment when the shots started.
No, I was still outside the apartment.
When y'all were in the apartment, the three of you, was the door closed?
After the shots were fired?
Before.
Oh, before. Yeah, the door was closed before.
Could anyone see into your apartment?
No.
With the door closed?
No.
It was prepped?
Right.
No one else other than the three of you was in the apartment?
Correct.
After the door gets open, you go outside, you're visible to everyone else in the apartment complex, well, that could see where y'all were, right? You became visible outside of your apartment.
Not really, no.
So if your neighbor had opened the door?
If my neighbor across the hall had opened the door, sure.
They could see Latasha standing.
Mm-hmm.
They could see Brodus standing in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened until after that was already out. In more public area than y'all had been before, right?
Right.
You, at some point, lunged for Brodus, right?
Yes.
And tried to shield him?
Well, this was after the shooting had occurred, yeah.
Yes.
Once we were back in the apartment by then.
Prior to that point, prior to you trying to shield him, she had not fired any shots at you, right?
No.
And when you got shot, did you realize it?
Yes.
Did you grab your shoulder?
Yeah, the bullet, you know, the bullet moved me. The shot threw me. Yeah.
And you were right against Brodus at that point too, right?
Until I got shot, right.
And then you said, Tasha, you shot me.
Mm-hmm.
What did she say back to you?
Something to the effect of, I didn't mean to.
And then you told her basically, like, go, leave.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Just get out of here. I won't tell them it was you. Just go.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
She didn't move.
No.
And at some point, you could hear the sirens coming.
Yes.
And Latasha still never moved.
Right.
She never put down the gun.
No.
And when the police came up, they had their guns drawn.
Correct.
And she still didn't put down the gun.
Correct.
And in fact, she pointed the gun at her own self.
Yes.
Towards her mouth.
Yes.
Towards her head.
Yes.
Against her chest.
Yes.
And the police were trying to talk to her to get her to put the gun down.
Right.
And she wasn't even really interacting with them.
She was talking back, you know. Like,
was she
no.
Crying at that point?
Probably. I don't remember.
Do you remember her saying, "What have I done?"
No.
You don't have to read it out loud, just to yourself.
Oh, okay.
Did you tell the police that she said, "Oh, what have I done?"
Yeah, it appears that I did.
And this was taken the day, that next morning after this happened, right?
Correct.
One of the main things that you heard Latasha saying during this was that he broke her heart.
Right.
And that was the main thing that she said to you?
Yeah.
The gunshot wound that you suffered, you had to go to the hospital for?
Yes.
You were there for a couple hours, right?
Yes.
And you got released?
Yes.
You left the hospital?
Yes.
A couple hours later, you got a phone call. Right. To come back to the hospital?
No.
The surgeon and the chaplain didn't call you to come back?
No. I was still there when they told me that he died.
Okay. So you left and came back?
I never left. I was there all night. This is when he left.
Keep reading.
Okay. Yeah, that was home. That's home because I didn't leave. The song was open. I left the hospital.
Okay. So that's just.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
And this was a stressful night, right? A very traumatic event.
Yeah.
And you had no idea why any of this happened.
Right.
But eventually you were told that Curtis had passed away.
Correct.
You went and gave a statement that next day with Carterville, right?
Right.
Pastor Pointer and Pastor Turner came with you.
Right.
Did you ask them to come with you?
They're the only people that could have come because I did not know a soul in Memphis. So when everything happened, I didn't know anybody's phone number. So they called Pastor Turner. They went through hoops to get in touch with him. He and his wife showed up. He called Pastor Pointer that morning. He drove over from Little Rock. So there was really nobody else that could have come.
And they actually came into the interview room with you, right?
Yes.
And while you were talking to police, the police were saying, "Do you know why this happened?"
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say yes or no.
Yes.
She's reporting. And you and the police both talked about why.
Right.
nobody understands why.
Right.
Did Pastor Pointer ever say, actually, I know that they were in a relationship?
No.
Did he ever tell you that before you went in?
Objective. That's hearsay. I don't know what the purpose of it is.
And it's not being offered for the truth of the matter asserted. It's being offered to show whether or not he provided that information.
What's your approach?
Mr. Pointer, speak up about the information. The police obviously did an investigation, right? And during your statement, they kind of talked to you about things that they found in the investigation. One of the things that they found was Burgess's phone. Do you remember that? You don't remember them asking you about his passcode?
Oh, yeah, I remember them asking about the passcode, yes.
And you have a cell phone?
Yes.
Do a lot on your cell phone, right? It's a form of communication, right?
Right.
It's a calendar. It's a GPS tracker.
Right.
Right? It's all of those things. It can be a wealth of information.
Right? Right.
And the police asked you if you had the passcode to his phone.
Correct.
And that would be the thing that you type in to open it up, right?
Right.
And you did not know the passcode to Grace's phone.
Correct.
So they were not able to open it.
Okay.
Is that right?
Correct.
And so they gave you back his phone because they said, we can't use it.
I don't know if they gave it to somebody. I don't have it to this day. I don't know.
Having you go through getting you back your phone and initialing
this.
If you will read right here. Do you see where the police gave you back his phone?
That's so good.
And again, this was an extraordinarily traumatic experience, right?
Right.
And sometimes with traumatic experiences, you may not remember everything perfectly, right? Up until on into after this case had been charged and everything, you didn't know about this relationship until well into this process.
Yeah, I would say not until the detectives confirmed for me.
That's all I have. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, wait.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick murder trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at lifelock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.